little buck swoop there in the open. Well done, Chris. Absolutely. Travis and Sliwa at night. And Alan, I'm sure at some point that's going to become a little less exciting to say, but not right now. I'm just feeling it.
Keep doing your thing there, Travis. Keep doing your thing. By the way, this is, you know, really think about it too, from a time slot perspective. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about the evenings, you got all the games going on. You know, obviously we're going to get into baseball here very, very soon where the season's going to start. I mean, NBA playoffs, we're going to be in a good spot. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, it's funny. This is the only shift, in, mm-hmm. other than like the graveyard shift, that I have not had.
You haven't had this.
I've done mornings. I've done middays. I've done mid-mornings. I've done afternoon drive, morning drive. This is the first time I've done this one.
Only shift.
Yeah, there's actually live sports on right now.
This is the only shift. Okay, what would you be doing right now? We don't have a show. What's going on in the Travis household?
8:03 mm-hmm. on a Thursday night.
You did a warm-up burrito at 5:30.
Well, no, see, I would probably be post-dinner right now. Mm-hmm. There would probably be, my feet would be on the couch.
Post-dinner.
I would have a glass of wine mm-hmm. in that little space that's, you know, between your chest and your gut. Just kind of sitting right there. So you can just kind of, if you're really feeling lazy, you can just kind of lean back and the wine kind of falls into your mouth. That's probably where I'd be.
Okay, I did.
Why are you laughing?
By the way, all my Google search images right now are Beverly Hills 90210. That's mm-hmm. all I got right now.
That's fine.
And then my
internet history would probably reflect something similar.
Then I went Kelly Kapowski because I wanted to compare Kelly Kapowski to some of the others.
Valerie Malone, please, a little respect.
I don't even know their names. I know them literally
so
by their characters.
That's what I'm here for.
And then remember Boy Meets World?
I do.
Remember Topanga?
Sure.
She's very underrated. Topanga was very underrated.
She's a very attractive young woman. But the 90210 characters
your
were
yeah,
cut from
your
a different cloth.
That's your jam.
They were right cut from a little bit differently. All right, so Dodgers had their press conference today introducing Trevor Bauer. This is really good for two reasons, I think. Number one is the very obvious reason. Trevor Bauer's really good. He's really good. He's the reigning Cy Young Award winner. He's got great stuff. He's one of those guys that you can put at the top of the rotation and just feel great about. That's the obvious reason that it's good. The second reason is good because it's good for guys like us. Mm-hmm. Trevor Bauer says stuff. Trevor Bauer is active on social media. Trevor Bauer gets into pissing matches with other major league players publicly, which makes for great content. Now, whether or not that's good for him, whether or not that's good for the Dodgers, time will tell. In fact, he was asked about it. Curtis, grab this one for me. He was asked about his social media presence and some of the dust-ups he's had there.
Like, I'm not going to go into specifics on everything, all the conversations that I've had with people across all walks of life over the past couple years and all the things that I've learned. I can say that I've learned from those. I spent a lot of my time going and talking to people to try to understand other perspectives, and I'm doing my best to be better, as I do in all walks of my life. So I don't think that it makes any sense to dive into specific issues in this forum, but I am committed to being a good, being better on social media, being better on the field, being better in the clubhouse, being better in life in general. And as I stated earlier, I'm excited to be part of the community. I'm excited to work with the community, and I'm excited to be part of an organization that's, you know, here to win and here to make a positive impact in people's lives.
This is what I'm talking about. When the opening press conference is, I don't want to talk about all the stuff I did on social media. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah, listen, by the way, that comes with the territory, right? You put some stuff on social,
sure.
Better be ready to address it. And a market like Los Angeles, I'm sure this isn't going to be the last time that it's brought up, whether he went to the Mets or he came to the Dodgers. This is going to come with you. So we could talk about, Trav, like you mentioned, the dude's a baller. He's a Cy Young Award winner. He's going to come in, and where do you have him? Third in the rotation, which is just ridiculous, right? I mean, just mm-hmm. kind of shows the depth that the Dodgers have. But there's also going to be other storylines. Be ready for him, because I'm sure that, you know, social media, it's up, and that's it. So you got to kind of live by some of those moments. He was trying to say all the right things, probably trying to get out of that conversation. That conversation won't go away tomorrow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like what you said about the markets, because Los Angeles, the media market here in LA, it's not New York, it's not Boston, it's not Philadelphia. It's not that where they're always trying to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we do a talk show. It's not every call isn't this guy's a bum, get him out of here and here's why. It's not that. But it's also not Cincinnati, Cleveland,
San Diego,
and Arizona, mm-hmm. where he's been before. But the three places he's been before, it's Arizona, Cleveland, mm-hmm. and Cincinnati. Those places are not like this. This place isn't nasty like some of those other places, but there's just more of us. There's just a lot more eyeballs. This is a big city. There's a lot of Dodger fans here. There's a lot of people that are going to be paying attention to what he does, so that'll be very interesting. Let's try a phone call right here. Let's go to Gardena. Oh, you knew this was going to happen, Slee. Manuel in Gardena.
Manuel's in the house.
Yeah. What's up, Manuel?
Oh, man. Trav in the Slee Stack, my dude, also known as Matt in L.A. to your boy, rhymes with Spim and Boom. But that's another story for another night. Do you know why we call him the Slee Stack, Travis?
Hit me.
He's Alan Sliwa, short for Slee, making stacks. Talking Lakers facts, baby.
I like that.
This dude delivers every time he delivers.
Hey, I can't wait, brother. I mean, I love both of you guys on your own level, and I'm really looking forward to this show, man. As far as Bauer goes, I mean, what an addition. You put him with Price and Kershaw, and then Cy Young to beat Bueller. I mean, it's a hell of a rotation, man. I think that the Dodgers, just like the Lakers, are really lining themselves up to go back-to-back, and it's going to be more mental than anything. They're going to have to stay healthy, obviously, but I can't wait for both, you know, June to roll around when the Lakers solidify it, and then October, another true blue October. Hey, fellas, I'll be listening. Keep up the great work.
Manuel, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate that a great deal. Thanks for the support. Very, very quickly, he said something. You know, Lakers die harder to go back to back in the NBA or the Major League Baseball.
Harder to go back to back. I would say baseball.
I would say baseball. It's got to be right, just because the randomness of it all. Right. Mm-hmm. That LeBron James or Michael Jordan or those great Warrior teams.
We're watching these every. It seems like every couple of years there's somebody running off two in a row. You know.
Right. It's just in LeBron's case, he's been there. He's been in the finals more often than he hasn't in his career, which is quite honestly the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But LeBron's just ability and his he can, through the force of his own ability, put that team in the championship round or get very, very close to it. Mike Trout's been the best player in baseball for 10 years, and they've been in the playoffs once. The randomness of it all is just weird. Your pitcher has a bad day.
It's his fault.
It falls apart.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's not Trout's fault.
Very quickly. But to go back to Bauer for a second, too, Slee. This won't be an issue, I don't think, because they have so many. But you've got one game you got to win. Game 7 of the World Series, everybody's fresh to go. Hmm. You got your entire Dodger rotation. Who takes the ball first?
I think Bueller for me.
Thank goodness.
I think Bueller for me. Yeah.
Every time we start one of these things, mm-hmm. I get a little nervous that you're going to give me a Brenda Walsh answer, and so I get a little tentative to ask these things because clearly you're a maniac if you're answering Brenda Walsh to these questions. But Walker Bueller.
Listen,
is the correct
over
answer.
Time you will understand what I'm talking about. You need time. You just need time. what? Give me some. Just warming up here. We're just warming up here. By the way, did you hear Manuel said? Which one's more stacked of a team? He said Dodgers and Lakers in great position. Dodgers, I think I would be more surprised. This is probably going to sound, I'm going to make sure I say this the right way. I'd be more surprised if Dodgers don't win the World Series than I would that the Lakers didn't win an NBA championship.
Say that again. I want to hear that one more time.
Both teams, incredible favorites, right?
Yes.
Not incredible, but Lakers obviously a favorite. Dodgers more of an incredible favorite. I'm more surprised if the Dodgers don't win their second World Series than I am the Lakers don't win their second NBA championship.
No, not me. I'd go for the simple reason the Dodgers have been the best team in baseball three or four times in the last 10 years. They've won the World Series once. The best team in the NBA usually wins the NBA championship. Not always, but usually win. In baseball, it's less than a 50-50 shot. The Dodgers have the best offense in baseball, mm-hmm. unequivocally. They have the best starting pitching in baseball, unequivocally. And I think at best, they've got a 1-3 or a 1-4 shot.
I'm actually surprised that you're going. I thought you were going to say, yeah, no question about it. The Dodgers are.
It's random. And this is one of the things I love about baseball.
But aren't they more stacked now than they've ever been?
Yeah. Remember when the Yankees went out and got Alex Rodriguez and everyone went, yeah, great, here we go. Mm-hmm. They're going to win the World Series. They won once. Mm-hmm. they won one. It never goes in that. It certainly gives them a better chance. Having David Price, who's won a Cy Young, as your fourth best pitcher is a pretty nice place to be in. Having Cody Bellinger, who's an MVP, who's entering the prime of his career, as your second best player is pretty nice. Corey Seager would be the best player on 20 teams in Major League Baseball. He's the Dodgers' third best player.
This seems like this year, it's like, why even play this year? Why even play this year in baseball because of how stacked the Dodgers are? I mean, that's how I perceive them. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
anything can happen.
Baseball is a weird deal.
But take that on the other side with NFL. Take that with football, right? In the NFL, timing is everything. Healthy and the hottest at the right time.
No question.
And that's why, actually, and we got to get into Tom Brady. And maybe we do this when we come back. TB12 and what he accomplished and the fact that he's won 7 Super Bowls. We were just talking about what's tougher to do to go back-to-back. To me, no question about it. What that dude's doing in football is arguably one of the greatest accomplishments in the history of sports, and we could hit it when we come back.
All right, we're going to do this. How you can get fall down drunk and make yourself more popular than ever. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee with 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
A couple of votes for TNA, Sliwa. I don't think that's going to fly. This still is Disney.
I don't know if that one will be approved. I'm going to send an email right now into the corporate office. We'll see if that one gets pushed through.
I don't think it will. All right, I want to get to Tom Brady and his avocado tequila and being so deeply impaired that he couldn't even spell simple words on Twitter. But we've got some phone calls I want to get to as well. Let's start with this one. Let's go all the way down to my neck of the woods, Slee. Laguna Beach and Ryan. Ryan, you're on Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Hey, Trav, what's up, man?
Hey.
I'm super pumped about the show. I think I speak for all of the OG TRN crew when I say
they're out in force tonight.
Overdue.
I like it.
yeah. You know, before I get to my Dodger comments, I just want to say, you know, for all the listeners of the show out there, and if you recall, I famously quipped a few years back about our guy Curt Schilling. Just warn the new listeners that you think you'll get it, but you probably won't get it at all. just a little Twitter jab there. Quick questions on the Dodgers, or one's a comment, one's a question. I'm going to miss playoff jock. I know you and I talked about that on Twitter a couple weeks ago. That really stings. And then my boy Corey Seager, I know he's a Boris guy, and I know they like to hit free agency, but is he going to get locked up long term? And if I'm voting, I'd love to see Brian Beckner, our dear friend, on the Friday shows. Later, fellas.
Yeah, I would certainly be all game for that. Slee, well, I'll have to dial you into the Friday facts with my guy.
Well,
Brian Beckner.
I like the inside jokes between you guys right there. There's for a second there, you guys sounded like he was in your living room and he was ready to crack open a beer and just talk with Trav. That's how the connection should be.
That sounds good. You should come over and have some beers with us one day, Slee. Well, that'll be good. The question about Seager is a good one. I think here's the rub. And Alan, Scott Boras' guys go to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And why wouldn't they? Because Scott Boras gets his guys a whole bunch of dough. I would anticipate the Dodgers being involved in trying to keep him long-term. The Dodgers have shown that they are willing to spend a whole bunch of money to get stuff done. There are not too many guys at that position that are better than Corey Seager, but I fully anticipate him going to the market and seeing what he gets.
What is that market for him? What do you think?
Whatever is a dollar more than the last guy that hit it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how it works for those guys. I mean, you look at him, he's young, he's had a little bit of an injury history, but I would imagine you're looking at 6+ years, 7+ years. I mean, Bryce Harper signed a 13-year deal. Mike Trout signed a 12-year deal. I mean, these big – and you know, as much as I like Corey Seager, he's probably my favorite guy on that team. He's not those guys. So I don't know if you can go deep like that, but you certainly would go big, I would think.
They in part of that article that we're reading, or at least this is the George Castillo in the LA Times, said Dodgers will have at least nearly $80 million coming off the books after this season. That was more in regards to, you know, what happens with Kershaw, right?
Yeah.
But just kind of, by the way, it just shows you, I mean, it's also, I mean, from an organization perspective, not only are you stacked, not only are you winning right now, not only do you have all this depth, but you're smart with your money too. You know, I mean,
and you're willing to spend it. It's not that, like, look, there's nobody smarter with their money than maybe, say, a team like the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays.
Those are the resources they have, and they maximize them.
Yeah, the Dodgers are really smart with their money, probably just as smart as Tampa and just as smart as Oakland, only they have an infinite amount to spend if they want to go.
But how often do you see that where, because it's a market that has all the money, that almost sometimes gets in the way? Well, who cares? We have the money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't act like that.
No,
you know, there's a big difference between having money but still spending it wisely, and I think that's one thing that, you know, obviously the Dodgers have excelled at.
All right, so there has not been a day in my life, Slee,
yeah,
where I've been a Tom Brady fan. I'm not one of these Tom Brady haters.
I was a hater.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think it was more because he was on the Patriots.
Okay.
I think it was more because it was that whole, anytime you have that much success, I'm naturally going to hate. Okay. I'm rooting for the underdog. That's the reality. I mean, a lot of times you're rooting for the underdog. Now, granted, too, I will say, growing up in San Diego, I was at games at Qualcomm Stadium where the Chargers are favored to beat the Patriots and lose at Qualcomm because a kicker can't, you know, missing, remember Nate Kading? I'm just missing these gigs that obviously are the difference. So I think there's part of that. And then there's the other part of it was when you see somebody have so much success, you want other guys. I mean, this is, you're rooting for other guys to win. And I think the Patriots had a lot to do with it.
Yeah,
that changed this year because now all of a sudden I found myself in the playoffs rooting for him over Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and rooting for him essentially in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I never really got hung up on the he wins too much thing. I mean, he's better than everybody else. I don't begrudge him his winning. I begrudged him this image that he had cultivated of, I don't eat, you know, I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I don't eat strawberries. I stretch, you know, for 19 hours a day. I you know, he looks.
You were telling me the same thing in the pregame show. When we were prepping for this, you told me some similar things.
I usually don't go to bed. I get up at 9 o'clock. That's more of my deal. But seeing him yesterday come off that boat parade,
yeah,
just absolutely cracked, just smashed, right? I mean, somebody literally was holding him up as he was trying to walk to wherever it is he was headed to next. I loved the guy for it because it was just, not that I'm, you know, a huge fan of public drunkenness, but just I'm a huge fan
Travis
of people
loves
acting
public
like
intoxication.
People. I love people acting like regular people. The reason, let me give you the opposite of this.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I loathe Russell Wilson is not because he's good, which he is. It's not because he beats the Rams, which he does occasionally. It's because he's not a real person.
When robotic.
When Russell Wilson threw that interception against the Patriots in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm,
they got to him right after the fact on the field. It couldn't have been 60 seconds before they had a camera and microphone in his face. You would think a guy would be crushed in that moment. And his was, ah, golly gee, I just can't wait to get back on the field with the fellas next spring. Give me
from the heart. It was from the heart.
Drank. It was so bad. And from that moment forward, I'm like, nope, I can never get it. If that guy's that programmed, I'm out. And seeing Tom Brady fall down drunk yesterday, go, you know what? He's a regular guy, and I loved him for it.
This is what I loved about it. I love the, I love that he embraced it, right? Like, instead of, oh my gosh, I don't want anybody to see me, he's like, I don't care who sees me.
Right.
I'm putting out the tweet. I'm retweeting this video of me stumbling wherever the hell I'm going, right? Some guy holding me up. I love that he embraced it. You know what I mean?
He's got a big goofy smile on his face.
I love that he basically, I mean, yesterday was one of the most, it was one of the most ultimate OG sports moments where one of the greatest to ever do it, when it's all said and done, walked back and said, I accomplished something. I just came to Tampa Bay where, you know, they haven't won in 20 years or whatever the case is. The Patriots didn't even make the playoffs. I just won the Super Bowl. And you could feel that yesterday was a way for him to just kind of release everything, and he released it as if he was 21 years old at ASU at a frat house. That's what Tom Brady looked like yesterday.
It was perfect. And then he kind of doubled down, too, because the video goes out, and then he reposts the video, and this is what he was trying to say. Mm-hmm. This is, or type. Nothing to see here, just a little avocado tequila. Okay, kind of poking, like, hey, guys, I get it. I had a couple. I know, a big deal.
How about, by the way.
But what he actually wrote, Slee, was noting to see her, just a little avocado tequila with a random capital T and a random capital C in
which
little
which made it so
avocado.
Much better. Did that it's not just... make it so much better?
I mean, he was so hammered, his thumbs weren't even working. It's great.
The fact that there were certain letters in the middle of a word that were capitalized for no reason at all. I mean, that's how it should have been. By the way, how about his toss to Gronk of the Lombardi Trophy?
Yeah, that was dicey. Look, I've never had the pleasure of holding the Lombardi. I've held the Stanley Cup over my head, far heavier than you might imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I've never held the Lombardi. I would imagine it's heavy, right? I mean, that thing's going to the bottom of the ocean.
Let me tell you something. It didn't look like a good idea. That, out of all the things he did yesterday, that probably wasn't the best idea. Gronk caught it. There you go.
Noting to see her. Noting to see her, Sliwa. Just whenever you get in a little trouble, you can just tell. Noting to see her.
Did he not? Did he not look like he was rushing?
He looked like he was having the time of his life.
Did he not look like he was rushing in a fraternity and it was the first time he's drank? Like he just left. He just left home. This is the first time on his own. I mean, he literally looked like it was the first time he ever went out there. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
He felt like a much more real person to me. All right, the Lakers have won 6 in a row, but are there reasons to be worried? Are there reasons to be worried? That's coming up next. Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You know what I like, Slee? I like that people are calling. We've got a whole bunch of phone calls that we'll get to coming up in just a little bit. The Lakers have won 6 in a row. I know that you are as plugged into this as anybody.
I haven't watched the game all season. Not seen a game.
Talk me off the ledge, because it's weird to have a team win 6 games in a row and feel like things aren't going well, and that's how I feel.
Okay, so last three games, what do you got? You got Detroit 2 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You win one game in double overtime, which, by the way, it is pretty funny if you think about this. No Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose, or Jeremy Grant in the game against the Pistons, okay?
In double OT.
No Shai Gilgeous in the last one. Mm-hmm. It's not about walking anybody off a ledge. It's about understanding that this team is at a point in the season. They've played some really good teams. They know what they're capable of doing. All they really care about at this point is for May to roll around, April to roll around. Once they could get to April, now it's like, okay, now you taste the playoffs actually coming up. You'll have played all these other teams and had an idea. What was Brooklyn like? What were the Sixers like? Clippers, Denver, Utah. You'll have kind of an idea. I say this, and I genuinely believe it, to describe the Lakers. Trav, they're bored. They are bored in the regular season. They know that, and LeBron is still producing every single night. It's not ideal to be in this predicament or situation, but they are bored. That's the best way for me to put it.
Yeah, if it were just that, I would sign off on what you're saying, but they're having to expend, or I shouldn't even say it like that. Let me rephrase. LeBron is having to
Show me one that matters.
A lot of capital to get this done. And it's like, you know, I mean, it's like dipping into your savings over and over and over again to cover your monthly. Eventually, there's no money left in the savings.
Sure.
Right? That you may be able to run a marathon.
Your savings
account. Yeah, I wish.
Don't start
of these things every day, then running that marathon is a doable thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, okay, I ran a marathon a month ago. I only need to run half as much. Okay, you could probably get it done. But eventually, you need to continue to do these things. And they're asking LeBron to do so much every single night. The Lakers have to work hard to win games the way they have the last few nights. And part of it is because of Anthony Davis. And part of it, I think, is the boredom you're talking about. But you're just, you're running some tire or some tread off that tire. You're spending some savings. You're burning some stuff that I don't love them burning through in the middle of February.
Okay, so here's the question. The question is, what's the solution then? Tomorrow, Lakers play the 10-10 Memphis Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Should LeBron sit? Should LeBron sit some of these games that... The whole notion of when Michael and I talk about load management, Michael starts getting heated, right? And he says, you know what load management was?
It.
You know what load management was back in the 80s? He would say, that's when Magic and Kareem would basically say, hey, let's blow these guys out. Don't mess around tonight. So the fourth quarter, we sit and we don't play that entire fourth. The Lakers have shown and have proved time after time, that's probably not the position that they're going to be in by the time the fourth quarter starts.
Well, you got to tell Michael that they used to put leeches on people to cure diseases and drill holes in the side of their head.
So why aren't we doing it anymore?
And then they figured out better ways to do it, and now we give people medicine and do surgeries, and you know things get better. So maybe you know not going 100 miles an hour every single night is not the best way to do it.
When I do the injury report, okay? Second segment of the pregame show. I'm like, all right, it's now time for the injury report. This guy is out with a sore left knee. I just hear him. He's out because of that. You know, Michael just adds it in his mind that everyone, it's a different mentality. Look, let's just put it that way. It's a different mentality.
Whatever Michael is doing seems to work. Clay worked, he's got a major leaguer. He's got an NBA all-star. It seemed to work out pretty well for him.
Okay, but
Trav,
real quick. So what do they do then? So how do they then approach this? Because I get what you're saying. I don't think LeBron's going to pull himself out of games.
No,
he's not. Listen, that's why I say I'm not as concerned about home court for the Lakers. I'm not. That 2000 Lakers team that beat the Blazers in Game 7 at Staples Center, they needed home court. Because if you're down 16 in the fourth at the Rose Garden, you probably lose that game. That 2010 Lakers team that beat the Celtics here with down double digits against Boston needed home court. This team reminds me more of the 2002 team that can walk into Sacramento in Game 7 and win a game. You're playing some risk there, but if you know your priority is being fresh and healthy for the postseason, you might have to then give up a one seed.
You talk about that team, and there's a couple of similarities between what's going on right now. That Sacramento team had Peja Stojakovic, who hit the side of the backboard in a clutch situation.
No, he did not hit the side of the backboard. He was 3 feet to the right of the rim. Hitting the side of the backboard would have been more accurate.
Maybe I'll get it confused because I was going to go with Paul George hitting the side of the backboard in the playoffs. So
that
there's
is
a little
the accurate
connectivity
one.
There. Side of the backboard, P. Let's go to John in Huntington Beach of Fullerton on Travis and Sliwa. What's up, John?
Trav, Allen, thank you for having me.
Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for calling us.
For sure. I do want to shout out our girl, Amanda Brown, for realizing how much we need you more on the radio. So shout out, Amanda Brown. Hey, girl. Let's make it 4 hours, though. Next month, I'll hit you up.
We're good.
Slow down. 7 to 9.
Slow down. I got to be up in 4 hours, buddy. Take it easy.
If you need to do a 5 a.m. round of golf, I'm your man. You know. But, I called in because, really, this whole panicking and worrying about the Lakers, I was going to call into LZ, but they're I wanted to save myself for you guys because I like you guys. You're my fellas. You're my amigos.
Thank you.
But, you know, not too far in the past, and you know, Alan, you just alluded to the 2000 team, but I want to allude to the 2000-2001 team, just like this team. Okay, they're trying to repeat. They've got some injuries. I remember that year Kobe had a string of injuries where he's missing 5 games, 6 games here, and you know the guys had to step up, like Rick Fox, our boy Horace Grant. These guys had to step up, and throughout the season, that's also when Shaq and Kobe started fight a little bit. And we were asking, what's going on with this team? What's happening? And then they just, you know, once the playoffs started, They were healthy, mm-hmm. and then they just steamrolled everyone. That honestly is my favorite team. They went 15-1 in the playoffs, and that's when they steamrolled the Spurs, which is my favorite. They beat them like by 700 in that series. What up, Realm Show? But really, the health is the key with these Lakers. And you know, LeBron,
you think they need home court, or you don't think it matters?
No, that's the other part. I'm going to get to like in that playoffs, they didn't really have home court. I think the Spurs had the home court in that. And that was the biggest competition, and they did. They were just veteran, and that's what I like about this Laker team. They have, you know, the mix of the young guys and the veterans, mm-hmm. and especially with what's going on with the crowds. Like if they meet the Clippers in the second round or the Western Final, it doesn't matter really. There's, you know, we're in LA. There's no real fans at this point, so I don't think it matters. So the most important part is the health, and I think LeBron is smart enough to take himself out. I mean, Kobe, rest in peace, and because everyone loved him in LA because of how fierce he was. He would keep himself in games. Like, he literally would tell Mike D'Antoni, you're not taking me out. But LeBron, I think, is smart enough to, you know, to hold himself back when he needs to. And I think he recognized that at his age.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Trav. I know we got a couple of calls.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for the kind words as well. I think LeBron's got a lot more of that Kobe gear than maybe a lot of people give him credit for. He's just not going to do it. Kobe's going to tell you that he didn't want to come out of the game and that D'Antoni wasn't going to pull him out of the game. LeBron's going to have that conversation before. He's going to have it in a little bit of a different way. But look, LeBron plays. You go look at the Basketball Reference page. LeBron plays every night, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the exception of his first season here in L.A., where he had that groin injury, and I really think had the Lakers been more in the mix, he would have pushed his way through that as well. LeBron plays every night, and LeBron's been involved in a whole bunch of blowouts. He's been on a whole bunch of good teams, and he still plays every night. He's not coming off the court.
He's played three extra seasons. Yeah. You realize that. From a playoff perspective, the 10 NBA finals that he's been in, he's played the equivalent of three additional 82-game seasons. Yeah. So when people say it's his 18th season, it's actually his 21st season. Now, I know there's other players that have played a lot of playoff games. It just kind of shows how much LeBron has played.
Yeah, no, he's played more than just about anybody in the history of this league. Mm-hmm. And by the time it's done, that's going to be another thing that he's done. He's going to have more points than anybody. He's going to have he's not going to have more championships in it, but he's going to have a fistful of championships, two fistfuls of finals appearances. He's going to have played more minutes. He's going to have made more shots. He's going to be that guy. And this argument about, yeah, well, Jordan this and Jordan that, the only thing Jordan is going to have on LeBron by the time this is said and done is that he never lost in the finals. And for the life of me, Slee, mm-hmm. I will never, ever understand why Michael Jordan gets credit for losing earlier in the playoffs than LeBron James does. Because
that's a good point.
Michael Jordan lost playoff series, a bunch of them. He just didn't lose in the finals, but he wouldn't get to the – he got to the final six times, he cashed in. LeBron's been 10 times.
Couldn't get through the Pistons. Well, I will say this. The Jordan
– Celtics?
The Jordan story, I think a lot of it had to do with he played – won three NBA championships, left the game to go play minor league baseball, mm-hmm. came back and won three more championships. I think there was a series that he came, one of the playoff series that he came in. I think that has something to do with the story as well. But I know what you're referencing to. Why don't you get credit for losses as well? Because those losses, you were actually in the finals. Magic went to the finals 9 times. He lost four of them. He's 5-4. Would you rather get to the finals 9 times, or would you rather get to the finals 6 times? I'm saying that there is a story to tell about getting to the finals that many times.
5-4 in the finals is better than 6-0 in the finals because you got there a whole lot more and you only won one fewer of them. I did never, ever understood that. One more quick phone call here.
I'll take 6-0. I'd rather have 6-0.
Then 5-4, you'd rather go 6 times than go 9 times and win 5 of them?
Think about how everyone talks about Jordan in the 6-0. I mean, that's all we talk about.
Just because everybody's saying it, though, mm-hmm. it's asinine. That this idea that just lose early.
You were wrong on 90210. You're wrong on this, okay?
Okay, well, how about this? Hold on. Where is it here? Here it is. This is from TFP. Sliwa feels left out of your conversation with Ryan, just like everyone leaves Brenda Walsh off of their 90210
list.
Dang
it, man.
Let's go to Paul in the Huntington Beach.
Digging
Paul,
deeper
what's going on
Brenda.
Tonight?
Hey guys,
what's up, Paul?
Good to join the party. Hey, Brenda is hot, dude, from 50 yards away, and you're squinting.
Other than that, dude, he's just not on the list.
I thought you were with me for a second there. The way he started that, Brenda's hot. That's all I heard, that he said 50 yards.
Man. Killing me, dude. Unbelievable, dude. Talk about lowest common denominator there. Listen, it's hard to transition from the Laker talk to Dodgers, man. But, you know, I called in on the Dodgers stuff. It's just it's exciting. It's been a great offseason. The thing is that you guys haven't really touched on tonight, unless you did the very first segment, was, you know, the Bauer thing, dude. Those guys are so freaking deep with arms. You guys haven't even talked about Gonsolin, May, and Urias, and that's 2, 3, and 4 in any other rotation in baseball, and two of those guys are going to be in the bullpen. I mean, it's just stupid how deep the Dodgers are, and that's been their calling card. But, you know, Slee, what you were saying earlier, you know, who's got a better chance or which would be a bigger disappointment, winning the finals, NBA Finals, the World Series, Dodgers and Lakers. Travis is right, man. Baseball is so freaking random. But the one thing the Dodgers have going right now that they haven't had, and frankly, dude, they were the best team in 17, 18, and on record, probably 19 as well, and they didn't win till 20. The thing is, pitching wins World Series, and the Dodgers are loaded on the mound. Travis, man, it's good to see it. By the way, do you see our boy D. Gordon dropped another name in there? I don't know what that's all about. Hey, good to talk to you guys. See ya.
Thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no, look, he's right. We didn't talk about Gonsolin and May, and they've got some other guys down there too. They've got Gray. They've got Mitchell White. They've got a bunch of really good arms. Here's all I'll say about that, Slee. That stuff rarely goes exactly the way that you think it does. We got eight guys. We got five spots. We got eight guys. Well, you turn around, and now you got four. That this stuff just really doesn't go like that very often. And that's why you need so many of those guys to backstop it, because somebody's going to go down. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody will not get to the end of the line.
Who's the second best team you think of the NL?
It might be the Padres. The Padres, what they did, when they went out and got Blake Snell, they went out and got Yu Darvish. They've already got two mega, mega, mega stars in Tatis and Machado. They're really, really good. They were really, really good last year, and they're going to be better this year.
Yeah, that's the reason why I asked that question. I was assuming that you would say the Padres, but that's kind of cool to have these two teams going up against each other. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen often, and that's because it's the Padres' fault. They obviously have not put together a winning product in a while, but that is kind of cool. 2 hours away, and now you might have a little bit of a rivalry. There are actually some storylines. I know rivalry, you got to face each other in the postseason a lot. We say all that, but it's almost, you could almost, when you make the comparison to Lakers and Clippers, no, there's no rivalry, but that doesn't mean that you don't want to see those two teams face each other in the postseason.
Absolutely. All right. On this day in sports history, Slee, one of the greatest upsets of all time took place. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. Travis and Slee with 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Slee, you know how I know we're on to something pretty good?
What do you got?
That the listeners are already turning on each other. I like that.
What happened?
I like when they fight about it. So John, who called us a minute ago, just tweeted about Paul, who called us a minute ago. And he writes, "Paul, I forgot about him. Wish I could go back to forgetting about him." See, this is how you know we're onto something. That if they can turn on each other,
we want people to exactly. We need like an internal civil war. By the way, I want to just remind you of this, because when we started the show, I asked a very simple question to you, and I was not expecting this response. I said, "What do you like in your burrito?" And you turned around so quick and said, "We're not there yet," as if I was asking your social security number and your home address.
Look, I'm not. I love that.
My daughter, that's a man who values his food at a very high level and do not mess with somebody that that does not want to share what's in their burrito.
Look,
I got some work to do.
It's personal, and I'm sure we'll get there. This is our first date. I'm not ready to give you my burrito recipe
this
yet.
This is our first date. I like that. It's a good way to put it.
You've got to, you know, we got to figure each other out.
I'm texting your weather. You're deciding. You know what? I'll see if I'll text him later. I'm going to wait an hour.
Yeah, you don't want to be too eager. That's not going to work. No, tell me what's in the burrito. All right. This day, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
This day, 1990. 31 years ago.
I was there.
You were not.
I was covering the game.
This took place 31 years ago. Take a listen to this.
Look at this. Buster not intimidated. He wants to keep it going. Mike, actually, his legs, you notice his legs in these wide shots. He doesn't have good bounce in his knees. Buster's legs actually look fresher to me. See, Mike, the way he went back in his heels, doesn't have the good balance. His legs together as Buster's landing these. Oh, nice uppercut by Buster Douglas. Look at this. He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career. Mike Tyson hits the canvas. He's in big trouble. He may not be able to recover. It's up to seven and eight. He's not going to make it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! Buster Douglas is the new heavyweight champion of the world! This has got to be, if not be, one of the biggest upsets in the history of boxing!
Absolutely. Never mind the biggest
How
upset
good
in the history
is that
of boxing.
Call?
It was fantastic. It's one of the greatest upsets in sports. They did a whole 30 for 30 on mm-hmm. it, the 42-1. And I remember, like, it was just because, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, Slee. But I Mike Tyson was just a phenomenon, not only because he was the heavyweight champ back when that really, really meant something, but he was a guy that was looked at to be invincible. Nobody touched him. Nobody went the distance with him. Guys would get in the ring, and they'd be on their back 30 seconds later. He was not only knocking guys out, he's knocking them out in the first round. He's knocking them out really early in fights. Buster Douglas was a journeyman guy. He was just a guy. And he went in there and he kicked Mike Tyson.
I had
Tyson's
six grand
ass.
On that fight. I put it all on Buster. but I tell you what, Trav, honestly, how good are those classic calls? How good are those? I mean, how good was that call right there? I mean, somebody who absolutely, like you're talking about, right? They made a 30 for 30 on this. I mean, it was one of the biggest upsets in the history of sports. Some of those classic calls I could listen to over and over again, even though 20, 30, 40 years ago, it doesn't matter. I watched a couple days ago one of my favorite movies of all time, Ali. I love watching Ali with Will Smith, mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times it takes me to then go to the real footage. No, I want to see Ali and Foreman. I want to watch that. I want to hear the real call when it happened. I want to see the fans' reaction. But that just took me back to that for a quick sec.
Yeah, I mean, the call is great, and just the moment, because, you know, there are always moments where somebody gets lucky in sports and they have, you know, they get a big hit to win a game. Mm-hmm. They'll knock down a shot.
A buzzer beater, sure.
Jim Paxson or Steve Kerr, mm-hmm. and not that these guys weren't good players, but they weren't Michael Jordan and they weren't Magic Johnson. This was a little bit different than that because this wasn't just a moment where he caught him and knocked him down. For the entire fight, other than the one time where Mike kind of landed a lucky punch, an uppercut, and dropped Douglas, he took him apart from the beginning of the fight. And I don't know if you remember the emotions going through it, but for me, it's like, okay, Mike's going to get him. Mike's going to get him. Mike's going to get him. And he never really did. He caught him with the one shot, but then he just popped right back up and took him to school. It was extraordinary to see. And I'll be honest, that happened 31 years ago. We've seen upsets. We've seen the Warriors blow a 3-1 lead.
Sure.
We've seen some of it, but I've never seen anything like that, Slee.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. So, okay, biggest upsets in sports. I mean, what comes to your mind? I know obviously that one comes to your mind, but what are some of the other classics that come to your mind?
Well, the Americans beating the Russians mm-hmm. in hockey.
I was
in
there too. I was there
were,
at that one.
You
as well.
Got around. You were
I was
a
covering
very
that game.
Young man.
I was working for a small company. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that one's up there. You know, LeBron coming back from 3-1 against mm-hmm. a 72-win Warriors team because you kept thinking, okay, eventually LeBron's going to have a 2-minute stretch where he's not from another planet. Mm-hmm. Eventually he's going to be human for just a minute or two, and that's all the Warriors are going to need to win it. That's on the list.
We were talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Patriots,
Tom Brady
Giants.
Beating the Rams.
How about Patriots, Giants?
Yeah.
17-0, chance to go 18-0. Eli Manning, that game, you know, the catch.
Eli Manning's face, though. I mean, that I can't get with that. He just looks so confused all the time.
Eli has two Super Bowls. I want you to know that. You got to understand that. He's got two Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady's only lost three of them, and Eli got him both, and Nick Foles.
So much respect for Eli Manning. The dude's got two freaking Super Bowls, both of them against Tom Brady.
Yeah,
who's
the
real GOAT?
A good one? This is a local one, too. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers beating the A's in 1988. Mm-hmm. You know, the A's were the best team in baseball by a mile. The Dodgers were not. The Dodgers had Mickey Hatcher batting third, okay? Mickey Hatcher was a journeyman. Mickey Hatcher was a platoon guy on his best day, probably a bench guy most days. He was batting third on that team, and the Dodgers beat the A's in five games. That one, to me, has to be really high on the list because, you know – that Dodger team is largely considered one of the worst teams ever to win the World Series. And that A's team was lights, Canseco, McGuire, and Eckersley, and Dave Stewart, and all these just unbelievable, Carney Lansford, all these just incredible ball players. And the Dodgers had Jeff Hamilton and Mickey Hatcher, and they beat them.
Who beat Michigan a couple years? Maybe, was that Appalachian State?
Yeah, Appalachian State, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that game? I mean, that's we don't get those, and that was in Michigan too, right?
I can't imagine Michigan went to play at
it was in the Big
State,
House,
wherever that is.
Yeah, they were. There was a home, and that was the agreement. Is we'll come play at the Big House, but you got to come play where we play. No, it was in the Big House.
Yeah, nobody's coming. Nobody's going to Appalachian State. Let's see here. Tom Brady struggled to walk yesterday, like when you sit on the can for too long and your legs fall asleep. All right, now it's almost 9 o'clock, and now we've gotten into poop jokes. See, this is where it comes off the rails.
I got no comment on that one.
I mean, it's a good analogy.
It
it's
is.
Not wrong.
I mean, the reality is it definitely does happen. So let's keep it moving here. Let's keep it moving.
So, all right. So Memphis tomorrow night, does it matter if they win, if they lose? Does it matter at all?
I think it matters in the sense if Anthony Davis does play, then yeah, you expect to obviously win that game. I think what's a bigger reason, or the only reason I could really think of why it would matter, just want to see the team play good basketball, Trav. I mean, these last couple of games, there have not been stretches where you're kind of sitting back and saying, wow, that's good basketball. Wow, that's perfect ball movement. Oh, my gosh, look at them on the defensive side. I know it's Memphis. I know Memphis is just 10-10. I will tell you this. The rest of the schedule for the month, they got some great matchups coming. But this is what you want, right? I mean, this is exactly what you're looking for. They got Denver coming up on Sunday. Lakers-Nets a week from today. Mm-hmm. Still got Miami this month. You got at Utah. You got Portland. You got the Golden State Warriors. What I pay more attention to the Lakers, and the only thing that I really care about is how are they performing against the good teams? Because the way they come out against the good teams, you could just tell they're interested against these bad teams, which they still got Washington, Minnesota this month. I'm sure there's going to be more games where they're sleepwalking.
How much of their struggles do you think has to do with Alex Caruso not playing? I mean, we talk so much about AD being out of it, but what about top 10 all-star vote-getter Alex Caruso?
Well, what are we saying? We're talking about how they don't have any energy, they don't really care that much. Have you ever said that about Alex Caruso?
No,
You've never said that. So that can certainly come into play. But it's a matter of the team respecting their opponents. I know that's so cliche, and I come up with more cliches. I got a lot of cliches, Travis, but it is about kind of taking that approach of respecting your opponent and figuring it out from there. Okay, so you're back on tomorrow morning?
I am back on tomorrow morning, and then I will be back on Monday morning and Tuesday morning. Yeah, the people were a little confused that they thought that I was not going to be on in the morning anymore. I will still be on. You and I, our schedule's going to be a little sporadic because the Lakers obviously are playing more or less every other day, but I think for our first day, we got it done pretty well.
Okay, so you're back on tomorrow at 5,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll get started tomorrow, pregame show at 5:30. So when somebody says, why don't you guys go for 4 hours, those are the reasons why we are not going for 4 hours. 7 and 9.
Exactly.
7 and 9. That's perfect. That's perfect right there.
We might want to end it on this tweet here. And by the way, this has been good. All the people that have called tonight, all the people that have tweeted tonight, this
definitely
is
appreciate
an important
it.
Part of the mm-hmm. show because we want you guys to participate too. And this one says, Eli Manning always looks like he just got fooled by a street magician.
Eli beat Tom Brady twice. Don't ever forget that.
all Tom Brady should have done is done like a little three-card Monty on a card table on the street corner, and maybe he would have pulled that off. All right, so that's it for our very first one. We're going to be back. We got a couple more coming up next week. We got all sorts of Laker games. We're going to talk about the Dodgers and the Rams, everything we got in there, but especially your phone calls, your tweets. We will see you all next week. Travis and Sliwa, ESPN.